Welcome to Inside the Eagle's Nest. I'm David Aldridge. This is one of my favorite topics to talk about all the time. 1985, the AU men's soccer team and its magical run to the NCAA championship game, becoming the greatest team in the history of American University athletics. And I was fortunate enough to witness all of it that year through the eyes of the Eagle being editor-in-chief of the paper. Would not have had it happen without my consigliere here. Steve Goff was the sports editor in 1985. He's only become the greatest soccer writer in the history of the world, and I'm not kidding. The long, distinguished four decades career covering all levels of soccer, men's and women's World Cups, national championship games, the whole gamut. But in 1985, he was one of the two beat writers covering the magical run of the AU Eagles, who were coached in 1985 by the legend Pete Maylard. Coach, it's always good to see you, man.
Great to be here.
Yeah, it was a magical time. We're going to talk about the whole season, everything that transpired that year, leading up to an 8 overtime game against UCLA.
It's still going on.
In the Kingdom in Seattle, Washington. But a magical year it was, and we're going to talk about all of it over this next few minutes. Well, let's start by talking about the context of the time in which we're talking about. In the mid-80s, AU had had an incredible run of winning programs, very good programs. Played in the tournament the year before at UVA, lost in penalty kicks. It was a great game. I was there. But this region had incredible soccer. Howard won a national championship here. George Mason, under Gordon Bradley, was one of the great programs in regionally and nationally. But AU's program and the Coach Maylard was right there with all of those programs. So I wonder, what I wanted to ask you first, Pete, was, like, when you're getting ready for that season, like, what were your expectations going into that season?
Preseason, you know, you drop by, say hello to the administrators, in this case, my boss, athletic director. And so I went to his office, morning, Bob. And he goes, hey, come on, sit down. So I sat down, he goes, how's it looking? Because we had 3 or 4 days of preseason already. Mm-hmm. So he goes, how's the team gonna be? I said, I think we're gonna be pretty good. And how good? I said, well, I wouldn't be surprised if we go as far as we did last year. He goes, Final Four good? I said, don't rule us out.
Yeah.
Final Four. That's how, in the back of my mind, that we were good enough to get that far.
Yeah.
So that was the 85 season. Not that I expected it, but I had dreamed about, hey, given this team and some new players, we can go further.
Yeah.
Because we added Serge Touré, our left back from AS Monaco. AS Monaco is one of the top teams in French professional league. And we added Fernando Iturbe. Fernando Iturbe was the MVP at Towson State and who transferred to American, mm-hmm. And I didn't even know about. You know, so given those two players, bona fide starters, among the better starting players,
yeah.
Right away it sort of raised my, you know, excitement about chance. Going as far as maybe even Final Four and further.
Well, Steve, we were doing the paper back then, and I remember we were talking about this team from the summer, right? Like,
yeah.
We thought, yeah, they had a chance.
Expectations.
Yeah. They're going to be there. Pretty good.
Yeah, and I mean, Michael Brady was, for people to understand, he was not only a star player at American and in this region, but he was national caliber. I mean, this was one of the best players in the country,
right.
And he's playing here at AU. And so when you have a player with that kind of scoring capability, someone who can change a match with one strike of the ball, it's like, you know, this team could be very, very dangerous.
Right.
The question was, I think, always, you always looked at UVA, at Virginia, mm-hmm. as the dominant team in the region. And really, college soccer at that time, and still to some extent, mm-hmm. is about the region. You got to get out of that region.
Yeah.
And so it was like AU and George Mason, Howard, you know, good teams locally, but could they reach the next level? And usually you had to get through UVA to get there.
Right.
So that was kind of the bar.
Yeah.
You know, could you reach the level of a Virginia to get onto the national scene?
All right, let's get into the season.
Yeah.
Like the first half's easy. We went 12-0-1, so we just rolled over people. Yeah. One tie was with Howard, who again, powerhouse.
Right.
1-1 tie. Great game, by the way.
Yeah.
That was a really good,
yeah.
well, very physical game.
Yeah.
And then we play Clemson at Clemson. It's a 1-0 game.
The defending champion.
Defending national champions. And I was saying this before, we went to that game. We all drove down to that game, covered the game. And as we're leaving, the Clemson fans are all giving you the sarcastic wave goodbye.
Yeah.
And I remember screaming, "We're going to see you guys again. You better be ready. We're going to see you again." So we, the regular season, 16-2-2 is the final.
Yeah.
Well, and I believe at that we were fifth in the country, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
We were ranked number five in the country.
Fifth in the country was our final ranking.
Final ranking.
Yeah. Right. Final regular season ranking.
Yes. Yeah. So going into the NCAA tournament, obviously we qualified, won the CAA, got the bid.
And they earned a bye.
And earned a bye in the first round.
Which is a big deal.
Which is huge. Yeah. And so going in, so our first tournament game is a rematch with George Mason.
Right.
And that was a great rivalry.
It was a great rivalry.
That was an intense rivalry.
Yeah, and George Mason, not only the program was getting better and better, but they spent a lot of money hiring Gordon Bradley.
Sure.
Gordon Bradley was the head coach of New York Cosmos.
Mm-hmm. So, Coach Pele.
They had just tremendous amount of optimism. This is the year for them. Because they had a goal scorer named Sam Sumo.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Sumo was very good. But I take a little credit out of that because I watched that team and I studied Sam Sumo.
Yeah.
I studied Sam Sumo, not about him scoring a lot of goals, how we can be more effective against him.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured it out, so I told Keith Trey and Glenn Buchanan how to do it. Well, I can tell you right now, Sam Sumo never got a kick in a box.
Never did.
Meaning
anything.
In the penalty area, because Sam Sumo scored all his goals in the penalty area.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when he had all his shots either blocked or didn't even get a shot off, we done a great job.
Yeah.
You know, and so I would just well, never mind about our defenders in the back, but just the whole team. And for the university, I was just enormously proud.
It's a great effort.
How we played against them, and look, they spent a lot of money in their program.
Yeah. You know, so.
And I remember that game because it was a concern. Like, well, this is George Mason. They got this great scorer.
Yeah,
right?
We could
get knocked out.
Right.
Yeah.
This is a tough game.
Right.
You know, this will really show if the team has the capability.
We win 3-1.
3-1.
Yeah.
Really controlled that game.
Yeah, right? We did.
Really controlled that game. Yeah. So now you go to the next round at South Carolina.
Yeah.
And I didn't go to that game because I had to worry about the paper.
South Carolina, if you look at the record, they were like 18-2-2.
Right.
Tremendous team. They beat Clemson, you know, in their region. And I know their coach, and Mark Burson, I mean, through coaching schools and all that. He's a very high on himself type of guy. But they were consistent in that part, in that region of the country.
Yeah.
But going on the road,
one of the best players is a winger. Went to a high school locally, and I spent a lot of time trying to recruit this kid.
Right.
And when he decided not to come to AU, it was so sweet for me personally that we beat them.
Yeah.
Now we beat them. We beat them convincingly.
Yes.
And it was
in a monsoon, right?
It was pouring. Well, the field was so bad.
Yeah.
And I remember Troy Regis come to me before the game started. Coach, Have you seen the field? And I said, yeah, it looks pretty nice. Coach, come here. So he walked to a sideline. He threw the ball up in the air. Watch. The ball plops. Yeah, yeah. Did not bounce.
Right. Yeah.
He goes, that's how bad the field was.
Right.
But the referee says, that's only part of the field. The game is on.
Play on.
So we play on. And Mike scored. But there's a guy who scored as a substitute, second goal, Billy Corbett.
That's right.
Billy Corbett was local.
Right.
Local, and I recruited him because I know him. I know his high school coach. And Mike actually squared the ball to him. And Billy Corbett just side-footed in.
And that was an important game, too, because...
Quarterfinals.
Quarterfinals, but we're also going outside this area. We're not playing Virginia.
Exactly.
This is like an unknown thing going down there.
This
was the game... This was the first game where you saw fans traveling,
right,
too.
A lot
of AU fans went down to Columbia, South Carolina for that game.
No, yeah. Right?
And the way they won on the road...
Convincingly again.
Convincingly. It was like, you know what? Something's happening.
This is
for
real.
No, I mean... We had tremendous fans.
What was the situation? I'm trying to remember about the site, the venue for the next game.
Well, we're going to talk about that. So now AU's in the national semifinals, Final Four.
And at the time, there was no Final Four venue.
Right.
The semifinal was home site.
We were seated behind the remaining teams like Hartwick, with traditional powerhouse, small D3 school. But had a great history of soccer.
Yeah.
And then there was UCLA,
And then Evansville.
And Evansville, which was number one ranked at the time.
Yeah.
And so it was between who's going to host. Well, the highest seed team usually hosts. But there was
that would have been Hartwick.
It would have been Hartwick.
Should have been at Hartwick, right?
But it was a snowstorm. The field was covered. They couldn't get rid of the snow fast enough and all that stuff. So we were asked to host, but we had to guarantee NCAA such an amount of money.
Yeah.
So as it turned out, as Steve, you were saying about, something sketching at AU.
Yeah.
And 5,300 pay. 5,300 pay. Yeah. And there were more than 5,300.
Yes.
They were fans who sneak into the field and who was sitting, climbing up the tree to watch the game.
That's right.
And it was amazing. It was just amazing. And the university rented
bleachers from Maryland.
From University of Maryland and trucked them to AU on the other side of the permanent stand area.
What do you remember about the goal? The goal against Hartwick?
Because it was actually, Hartwick. On the goal, Hartwick had the play, because they weren't a bad team. It was a very, very,
very good
team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we had a counterattack, and Barry was fast. And somehow the ball actually got to, Barry. It was Barry.
Barry Anderson.
And so Barry ran past the defender and made a cross, and Mike Brady attacked the ball. Mm-hmm. Goalkeeper, usually they're pretty brave. They had to come out and challenge.
Sure.
So as he tried to punch the ball, Mike Brady hit isn't going to reach the ball, but he was able to reach the goalkeeper's probably head. Mm-hmm. So they collided, and their goalkeeper had a bit of a concussion, but he was trying to be brave.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Right.
And
it crosses to...
No, but as Mike tried to hit the ball, he hit it somewhat, the goalkeeper. But as he did so, apparently he saw Fernando just behind him. Fernando Iturbe. So he just redirected the ball behind him, and it dropped into Fernando's path.
Yep.
Who calmly tucked it in.
Yeah.
So
Late in the game.
So we played for another few minutes, and the celebration was on.
Yeah.
And talking about celebration, and all of you guys have probably heard about this guy named Bruce Springsteen. somebody had the foresight of mindset to have the speakers on, and whatever the music, glory the player,
days.
It was glory days. Glory days was on.
Yeah.
It was blasting, blasting through this entire field. Glory days.
Yeah.
And to this day, every chance I get, Springsteen's on, I would say, okay, glory days.
So they, the game ends. They storm the field, of course. They carry Mike Brady off on their shoulders. Yeah, the students. These are students. They carried him off the field.
Right.
And a lot of your guys were on the north side of the campus.
Yeah.
So to walk to get back to Cassell Center, you had to go past the north side of campus. Everybody in Leonard Hall open their windows, and they're throwing ticker tape out of the windows. How did you guys get ticker tape? And they're throwing ticker tape out the windows as you guys walk off the field.
It you know, the success of that team brought so much to the university.
Yeah.
You know, and it helped me a lot personally in my career. And look, it just doesn't happen to, personally speaking, any coach.
Yeah.
Just because you work hard.
Yeah.
You have to be lucky.
Yeah.
And you have to somehow win over the players to do what you hope that they will do in the game. And I was lucky. I was lucky that the players were into it.
Now we have a week to get ready for the national championship game. It is the next weekend, and this is neutral site. It's not in New York or Philly. It's in Seattle, Washington.
Right?
At the Kingdom.
At the Kingdom.
Yep.
We got to go 3,000 miles to win
that.
Think about what this was. If you step back a second, okay, American University is going to play UCLA for a championship,
the national championship
in sports.
Right.
Okay.
It's AU against
UCLA.
UCLA.
Right. How is this possible?
This is insane. This is crazy. Yeah. But this is actually going to happen.
And looking back, you know, in every way we were outmatched against UCLA.
Yeah.
We start with a coaching staff. AU, you got Pete Maylett.
Who is this guy? against Ziggy Schmidt.
UCLA has Ziggy Schmidt, coach of the year in Major League Soccer.
Right.
Steve Sampson, assistant, U.S. national team head coach.
Yeah.
Carl DeWasian, head coach of the state of California, ODP.
Yeah.
So you got three guys that's on the coaching staff.
Right.
I had me and Ken Krieger.
Right.
making very little money.
$2,000. Hey, that's good enough. They pay for your gas. You know?
So this is the ultimate matchup.
This is David and Goliath.
This is the ultimate. Right.
But you know what? It just lifted our student body up so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were so proud. They can talk about,
you
know, we did this.
Yes.
You know?
And so a lot of students went, right?
A lot of students
went. We were there.
Yeah.
We were in the Kingdom. It's a very late night. The night just keeps going and going. It's the longest game in history.
Well, you guys remember this, and that is toward the end of the games in overtime, or even before overtime, PA announcer came out and said, American University or something, students, if you are...
If you're on the United flight going back.
If you're on the United flight on this, you should leave now.
And nobody left.
The game wasn't over.
Yeah,
it just kept going.
Started in overtime.
Yeah.
And nobody left.
Yeah.
Nobody left. So what was that like for you and your players to go through 8 overtimes?
Yeah, I'll be very candid. And I was hoping the game would end. Because I was tired.
Yeah. We were all tired.
I was mentally tired.
Sure.
You know, obviously, in the players, in their own mind, they want to win the whole thing.
Sure.
But physically, they were tired.
Yeah.
And when you are tired, it affects your mental process.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that affected our last couple of overtime period of play.
Sure.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Although we had a chance to win the game, I put in Steven Marlin had a corner kick, came across Steve Marlin, boom! I thought, goal. It went straight to the goalkeeper.
Did it? Yeah, yeah.
I don't even, if you watch the game again, you'll see it. Steve Marlin, boom, it went right to the goalkeeper. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when it did end, it was relief.
It was, it was so we're all exhausted.
It was disappointment. Of course you want to win.
Yeah. Right.
But it had gone on for so long. Right. It was like,
all right.
That's all. Enough.
Yeah. 167 minutes.
Well, the thing of it is, Mike Brady had a cramp. So he was down on the field. Normally, when you're down, the referee may stop the game and say, okay, trainer, come on out and take care. But they did not stop the game. They let the game go on. When all the players stopped, including UCLA.
Right.
But the head coach, keep going. You know, referee didn't blow the whistle.
Right.
So they made a long pass to a substitute, who, by the way, never played for UCLA again.
Right, that was it.
Okay, the last
shining moment.
Yeah. he got a hold of a long pass and took a swipe at the ball. Yeah. And in the meantime, Stephen Fowle had taken a break. Referee!
Right.
Referee.
Time. No.
No, yeah. No, didn't stop. The guy took a swipe and went in the goal.
Yeah.
Referee was glad to blow the whistle himself.
Game over.
game was over.
This will tell you how long ago this was. So I was on that United flight going back, and we were an hour. We didn't leave the kingdom until an hour after the plane was supposed to take off.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
So we all are like, all right, we're sleeping at the airport tonight.
Yeah.
We have to try and figure out, because there's nobody left at the airport, we have to try and figure out how we're going to get home in the morning, what if we can possibly find a flight back to D.C.
Yeah.
It was so long, there were so many AU people that were on that red-eye flight, they held the flight. held the flight an hour for us. And you never seen people so mad. When we got on the flight, we're like, what? We had the game. We had to stay to the end of the game. So, but it was great. And I want to give you the last word on 40 years later. It still is the greatest time I ever had here. And what it did for you, what it meant for you to make that run.
It's in every way, I'm blessed. I mean, it's solidified my career. I believe that most coaches will go through some obstacles throughout their career. Mm-hmm. I went through it. But regardless, the 20 years was really highlight of my life, really. You know, I can't thank the team, the players, the sport, the administration, the university, the support. Now, yes, I can complain about scholarship, I can complain about the field, you name it, I can complain. But no, I mean, that was a job I had, and I was delighted to put in the time that I did.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this trip down memory lane as much as we did. Look, you can look it up. 1985, American University was in a national championship game in soccer. Period, end of sentence. It doesn't get any better than that.